Well, praise God. Good morning. Welcome. Everyone who's here and everyone who's with us on the live stream. Let's have a word of prayer and then I'll share with you. Lord, we do praise you for your greatness. God, there's none like you. There was none before you and there'll be none after you. And Lord, we count it the highest privilege to know you and to get to serve you. There's no greater thing in life. You are the author and the finisher, beginning and the end. And we pray today that we could see you by faith. As we look at your word, Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes. Take us, Lord, out of the earthly realms of thinking and bring us into heavenly realms. Lord, the realm where you dwell and where your truth reigns supreme. We ask you for that gift. We pray a blessing on each one. Lord, it's you that we've come to extol and to love and to know. So help me to share your words, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be back here with so many faces. Felt kind of funny looking at an empty auditorium and preaching. I have a message I'd like to share with you today. It's called Not Under the Circumstances. Are you glad to be a Christian today? Would you want to be anything else? It's a great time to be a Christian. I wouldn't want to be anything else. I don't know how people make it without the Lord. I mean, to go through some of these things that we're going through, the fearful times, economic problems, health issues. You know, we weren't designed to make it without the Lord. God didn't ever design it that way. We were supposed to walk with Him, know Him, serve Him. I'd like to start out by talking about the greatest location in the universe. It's the safest place on earth. It's a place of blessing. It's a place of favor. It's a secure place. You know where that place is? It's in Christ. It's a location. In something. We're in Christ. And there's no better place to be. There's no higher place of blessing than to be in Christ. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's a peaceful place, and it's a place that's filled with hope. He's begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of the dead. It's a place of power and authority. He's put us, we're seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That speaks of power and authority, doesn't it? That's where we are, if you're in Him today. It's the highest place that you can be. It's the safest place that you can be. And if you're not there right now, here this morning, if you're not in that place, I want to tell you it's an available place. It's available today. The door's open. And the Lord is welcoming in all who will come by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, to bring you into that place. If you're not in that place, I recommend to you today that you can enter in by faith. Give your life to the Lord. Turn from living for yourself and running your own life and doing your own thing and let Him be your Lord. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ and you can come into that place. You know, it's a great place to be when the world is unraveling around us with political threats, health threats, and economic threats. I'm glad I'm a Christian. There's no better place to be. We are so blessed. And I want to share that with us here today, that to encourage us in what we have and what that means and how that should affect our life. You know, one of the dangers during a time like this is the temptation to fill up with the news. The CNN, ABC, NBC, FOX. Right? Well, today I want to recommend to you that we fill up with the B-I-B-L-E. The good news. Praise God. You're not going to get the good news on CNN and Fox, are you? No, we need to turn down those outlets. Turn up the B-I-B-L-E. The good news. And so we want to do that here this morning, but we also want to recommend that we do this in our life. Because what comes through the news media is not the truth that sets you free. CNN and Fox are not reporting the good news. And if you hear too much of that and you fill up your life with too much of that, you're going to miss the good stuff. You're going to miss the good news. The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, tells us that the Church of Jesus Christ is the center of what's happening today. If you listen to those other outlets, what are you going to think is the center of what's happening today? President Trump, Nancy Pelosi, Dr. Fauci, the spread, the curve. Oh, this is the center. This is the center of what's going on in our day. Those things are not the center of what's going on. I want to read a little bit of an article I got from the Samaritan newsletter. I was really blessed by this. It said, the main news happening in the world right now does not concern data about the spread or the economy and the stimulus and the free money coming your way. The main news is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the church is the bearer of that good news to the world. Jesus Christ, with all authority in heaven and on earth, is building his church. Not even the gates of hell hold back the final advance of his church, much less temporary panic and financial freefall. Not that Christians won't get sick and some die. Some already have. And not that particular local churches won't go belly up. Some will. Some are. Some local churches have closed doors that will not open again. But the global church stands unassailable, under no genuine threat, and will be stronger than before. And he goes on to share about the verse there in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's turn there. There's quite an amazing verse here that reveals what the center of the heavenly realm's attention is focused on. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul brings this out. And he says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now look at this. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God's plan from eternity past is that through the church, his manifold wisdom would be known to the principalities and powers of the air and the spiritual realm. And so right now, they're not focused on the White House. They're not focused on the CDC. They're focused on the bride, the church. They're looking to see what's going to happen. What are they going to do? What's God going to do through these people? Because, see, it's not about us. We're the church, but we're the vessel. What it's about is God showing His glory through people. Just regular people, like Jim brought out there in the salutations of Romans. Just regular folks. Not big shots, not special people. Just servants. God was determined that He's going to show His glory to the universe. And the amazing thing is that He's chosen you and me to do that. Did you hear that? He's chosen you and me to do that. What a privilege. That changes how we look at things. He goes on to say, according in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's His eternal purpose. Emperors, rulers, empires have come and gone through the millennium. But the church still stands. And there's that amazing prophecy, if you want to turn to Daniel chapter 2. There was a heathen king back in the day named Nebuchadnezzar. Actually, he's a lot like some of the rulers today. I'll just say it that way. With all respect. In more ways than one. He was a lot like some of the rulers of our day. And he had a dream that troubled him. So much so, he couldn't remember what it was. But he felt like he had to get this. And he threatened to kill all his wise astrologers and so forth, that they wouldn't tell him what it was. This dream really bugged him. Well, we won't get into the whole story, but you know how it was. Daniel, the man of God, he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, You know everything. You can reveal this to me. And God did. He told him the dream. And in this dream, the king saw this big statue or figure with a gold head and a silver torso and brass legs and then feet made of a mixture of iron and clay. And then in the dream, this rock was cut out of a mountain and it came and it tumbled and it smashed that statue down into pieces and it all lay on the ground. It says there in verse chapter 2, verse 35. We'll go to 34. Daniel said, You saw till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. What is this stone that's becoming this great mountain that was cut out without hands and filled the whole earth? It's Jesus. Verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, in other words, God did it, no hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. The kingdom of God shall not fail. He started that back in the days of those kings, those emperors that Jim was talking about. That's when the church was birthed. That's when the Lord Jesus came, that rock cut without hands. And it says that He smashed those other kingdoms down. That's exciting. And we are now part of that kingdom here in 2020, centuries later. You and I have the privilege of taking our place in that line of people throughout these 2,000 years who have joined to the church and who are given the opportunity to show forth His praises. 1 Peter chapter 2. There's that verse in there that we love. 1 Peter 2, it says, verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, a peculiar people." Why? "That you should show forth the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." That's our purpose. Our purpose is not to have an easy life. Our purpose is not to have prosperity in financial matters. Our purpose is not to do anything but glorify Him. That's the purpose. And I just want to take a look at, you know, our family's been studying Acts in family devotions, and something beautiful we've noticed there. I love how Luke wrote it. I don't know if you've noticed this before, but he shows like a problem and then a solution, and then he puts in a little note that says, "Oh, and the church grew and multiplied, and people were added to it." You know, he says that several times throughout the book. The message of Acts is that nothing can stop this thing. As Luke's writing this, he's just bringing it out. Nothing can stop it. And let's just take a look at that. Acts. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. I think we'll start with that one. I hope you get excited about this. Acts chapter 2 talks about, you know, the church started there. Peter preached. I think it was 2,000 got saved and baptized. 3,000. And in verse 47, it says, "They were all praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." That's a great beginning, isn't it? 3,000 get saved, and every day God is adding people to this rock, this kingdom that He said is going to take over. Every day. All right, so we go through chapter 3. We have some issues there. They're imprisoned there for a while, but they're released. But then in chapter 5, we have our first problem here in church. Some people sinned. They told a lie in church. We got a problem. You don't tell lies in church. And God struck them dead. Ananias and Sapphira. It kind of reminded me, you know, of the Old Testament there in the book of, I think it's Exodus, when God first gave them the law and He said, don't collect the manna on the, you know, or sticks for the fire. I guess that's what it was. Yeah. You're not supposed to do work on the Sabbath day. And that guy went out and he just started gathering his sticks anyway. And God made an example of him. It was very extreme. He had them stone that man. Moses sought the Lord and He said, stone him. He's doing work on My day. And of course, spiritually speaking, that's a picture of trying to work your own salvation. Because God said, no, you rest on that day. That's the day when you rest. I'll take care of everything for you then. So it's sort of like, almost it reminds me of that here in Acts. Right in the beginning, somebody thought they'd just tell a little lie. Hey, it's just a little thing. It'd make us look a little better. We'll have a little bit more money and we'll still get our praise of everybody. And, you know, God will get something too. So let's... Well, God said, no, we're not going to do that in My church. And He did a severe judgment. Struck them dead. They carried Him out and buried Him. But it says in verse 11, "Great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, no one dared to join himself to them. But the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women." See how He says that? There's this problem. God comes with a solution and the believers are added more. This thing just keeps on growing. Keeps on growing. We come to chapter 6, the next chapter. Now we have a new problem. There's dissension in the church. Our widows are not being taken care of. You guys are partial. You apostles, you know, the Grecians, you're not taking care of our widows. That's not fair. And there was grumbling. There was stirring. You picture the angels, the principalities and powers. They're watching now because remember, God said, this is what I'm going to display My power through. So they're all gathered in the heavenly realms. They're watching. Okay, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? They want to see. They're not over at Caesar's palace right now. They're watching right here, the rock. They want to know what's going to happen. Well, we find out what happens. The Lord gave them this idea of making deacons. And so they did. They said, set you aside these seven men, give them the work to do, and we'll keep right on preaching and praying. And it says in verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid their hands on them. And here it is again. And the word of the Lord increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Problem? Solution. Not just solution, but now we're going on. It's getting bigger. This thing's growing better. You see that? And by the way, who do you think was stirring up those folks to be upset with each other about the widow's thing? You think there might have been some powers in the heavenly realms involved in that? I think so. All right, well, let's keep going. Now, chapter 7, we have the first martyr. Okay, remember, all those heavenly beings are watching. Right here, we're focused, the kingdom of God. Someone's going to get killed for his faith. It's a beautiful story how he preached to them, how his face shone like an angel, and all that. And then, they stoned him, killed him, and it says that Saul was there consenting unto his death, chapter 8 and verse 1. And then at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. So here it is. The powers are watching what's going on here. They're getting scattered. They're going everywhere. They're running away. Okay, it's over. You know, these people are just going to be scattered to the four winds. It's done. You could just see the enemies of the Lord saying. But it says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. But look here. He says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Problem? We got persecution. Solution? Scatter them everywhere. This thing's going to spread all over the place. Hallelujah. And so then we go through this time here where Paul is, you know, he's on a mission to destroy this thing. This devout Pharisee is going to get these people. They're messing up God's kingdom, he thought. He's going to throw them into prison. He's on the way to Damascus with letters to capture these people. And on the way there, he has an encounter with the Lord. And he gets knocked off his high horse. And he gets blind. And he goes into the city. He gets humbled. And we know the story. The angel came to, Ananias? Ananias. And said, go and pray for him. And finally, he was a little reluctant, but he did. He prayed for Paul. God took the scales away. And Paul, this man who was the problem, he's going to destroy this thing. He's messing up the church, became part of the solution, part of the advance. Praise God. God can take his enemies and make them his friends. He can take a guy who's totally against what he's doing and he can turn him into someone who's totally for it. So that's what he did. And Paul, this man who was killing people, now became the one who was promoting. And look what it says then in verse 31 of chapter 9. It says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and they were edified, and they were walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they were multiplied. You see, it just keeps multiplying. Everything the enemy's trying to throw at this thing is not going to do it. It actually just, it's like trying to put out a fire with gasoline. It just doesn't work, does it? Praise God. Well, let's just keep going. There's a couple more in here. Then we come to chapter 12. This is where Herod, the evil king, he said, I'm going to kill these guys. More persecution. They said they had a time of peace. Everything was prospering. The multitudes were coming in. But King Herod found out that the Jews really didn't like these people, and he wanted to kind of get favor with them, so he said, I'll kill a couple of the big shots. So he got Peter and James, put them in prison, And he was allowed to kill James. But we know the story. Peter was going to be executed the next day. The people prayed in the house. And God brought Peter out. Herod interrogated the soldiers and said, "What's going on? What did you guys do?" They said, "I don't know. You know, he's gone. So he had them all killed. Then he goes to this neighboring town to make a speech and gives his talk there in Tyre and Sidon. And, you know, he gave this speech and the people gave a shout saying, "It's the voice of a God, not man." And Herod, he loved it. He soaked that all up. But it says that right then, immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. I think he had a lot of pleasure when he wrote that sentence in there, don't you? I think he had a smile on his face. But the word of God grew and multiplied. That rock hit that kingdom, and that king went down, but that rock kept right on rolling. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's still rolling. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're not done yet. Paul went to the Sabbath day, chapter 13. The whole city came to hear it. The Jews were moved with envy, spoke against these things, verse 45. Then they waxed bold. They said, "The Lord commanded us, for so the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set you to be a light of the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard that, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published through all the region." And in verse 52, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. This kingdom will not be stopped. All right, now we got another problem. Chapter 15. Some of these folks came up to where Paul was and said, "All these Gentiles that have come into the church, new converts, unless they're circumcised, they cannot be saved." So now we got a problem here. So Paul had a no small dissension and disputation with them. I'd like to see the video of that one. See how that man of God did it. It was no small dissension and disputation with them. We got a problem here. Is the church going to just be a Jewish church? Is it going to sort of stop here? Or is this going to be a worldwide? Is this rock going to roll throughout the whole world? And they got together, chapter 15. They all met. They all hashed it out. They decided how to deal with it. By the Holy Spirit. They had a problem. Again, think of all those principalities and powers. They're watching this group that God has said and He has ordained. This is where I'm going to be glorified here on the earth. He watched them work through a difficult thing. He watched them work through something that could have split this thing to pieces, right? No, they didn't let that happen. They worked through it by the Holy Spirit. And they came up with a solution that was satisfactory to everybody. It said there, how does it say that? "It seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit, to all of us." They all were in agreement. Praise God. Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Silas, I guess he ended up taking. We won't get into the thing about the other thing there. But as they went through the cities, chapter 16, verse 4, "They delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem." And here it is again. "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." So we keep getting these problems, whether it's sin in the church, whether it's disagreement among the believers, whether it's doctrines that need to be straightened out, whether it's persecution and martyrdom. And every single one of them ends up in the church being multiplied. Do you think God stopped doing that? No. Well, there's more we could share. I think I'm just going to go to the end of the book, though. The end of the book of Acts, in a way, it almost feels anticlimactic. We've had all these exciting things, you know, revivals, thousands getting saved, and the end of the book of Acts ends with Paul sitting in his house. You know, it's sort of a strange way to end such a book, isn't it? But if you think about it, it's not so strange. God wanted Paul to bring his testimony to Rome. And so he moved the Roman people to arrest him and bring him there. He got a free ride, all right? Didn't have to pay for it, with a military escort to keep him safe. Then they bring him there and he gets his own private house, and it says, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came into him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And you know, he wrote 4 epistles from that place there. So God said, yep, we're going to, yeah, the Roman governors and so forth, we got this guy under wraps now, right? This man who's turning the world upside down. And the Lord said, no, he's going to be writing the word. Because there's people who need to know some things in 2020. There's nothing that can stop this kingdom. Nothing. I'll read a little bit more from this article. There's a verse following in Ephesians 3 that I didn't read, but it says, now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. How is God, the one able to do far more than we can even dream, being glorified in our world today and at this time? Stand in awe. It is in the church and in Christ Jesus. We are not the church in the coronavirus age. We may be enduring a global pandemic, but we do so as the church in the church age. Did you catch that? We are not now living in a pandemic age, a digital age, or a pragmatic age, or a whatever new thing you want to emphasize age. This is the church age. The church is not simply another reality among others to swap in and out as an adjective for our times. Church is the adjective. This is what this age is. And in Christ, let's not let the mainstream media or social streams or our own forgetfulness lead us to think any different. That's the danger when we look at too much media. We get this idea that the most important things in the world, well, it's President Trump. It's his latest tweet. You know, it's his latest law. And it actually, we actually feel that those things are that important. The new stimulus package, the new this and that. Do you see how the news media presents a distorted view of what is truth? That's not the pinnacle and apex of what is happening on earth today. It's what's going on in the church of God. It's God's people who are getting in there deeper with Him and saying, Lord, I need You like I've never needed You before. You know, we are feeling pressure that we've never felt, right? Let's not deny that those things exist. We feel that pressure. We feel that stress. I do. Maybe you're more spiritual than me and you got beyond all that and you just cruise right along. But I think most of us, we do feel it. And it doesn't feel good. But see, God is up to something. He's wanting to do something in you and in me to demonstrate His glory on this earth. Those angels and principalities and powers are watching what you're going to do, Brother Aaron, this week. You know, what I'm going to do when those fearful thoughts come to us. When that opportunity to give in to the pressures of this world around us, let's say. They're watching. They're watching what the churches are going to do in the midst of the pressure cooker that we're all in. They want to see, okay, what are these folks going to do? They're going to do like it was in Acts 15 there, and they're all going to work it out? These incredibly different sides of you. They want to see how it's going to work out. And we have the privilege and opportunity to demonstrate that. See, we live in a world that's becoming polarized by the hour. Right? And if we're not careful as the Church of Jesus Christ, we get sucked into it. Because we all have our opinions about some of these different things, right? You know, the AMA, that's the way. The American Medical Association, you know, some of us may believe that, you know, may feel that and be confident in the doctors, the medical profession, and all that to the T. Others of us on a different, maybe on a different place. And we, you know, they believe in those healthy things, that health food, you know, and that's the way to deal with these things. Well, those are pretty far apart. But you know, I want to say that these things are they're like those Romans 14 things, right? They're things that good believers differ in their opinions about. Good and godly people just see it different for whatever reasons. And our calling is to not get sucked into the petty fray that's happening around us. You know, there's, you know, you got the vaccinations. That's the answer to this pandemic. Then on the other side, you got, whoa, vaccination. You know, we're against all that. We don't believe in that. You got the mainstream media on one side, you got the right wing and the maybe conspiracy theories. Should we obey the government or should we disobey the government? The Democrats are killing the economy. The hospitals are filling up with suicide patients and with drug overdoses because, you know, the economy's going down the tubes. And it's those Democrats' fault. The Republicans are reckless. They're going to kill everybody by this pandemic because they're opening things up too soon. Well, what's the truth? I don't know. Do you? I have my own opinions. But, you know, I'm not here today to give you my opinions. I want to tell you what the truth is today. The truth is, and here's another one. You know, there may be some of us who feel like we never should have stopped meeting in the first place. What were we doing? We're the Church of Jesus Christ. We have all authority in heaven and on earth. What are we doing? Listen to this government. We never should have stopped meeting in the first place. There may be people today who are feeling like, whoa, we're opening up too soon. You want to kill everybody in the congregation? You know, I don't know. Hopefully it's not that bad. But there's people who have different opinions, right? And what it takes is a lot of humility to walk at this time. That's what we need. That's what this world needs. You know, it says that only by pride comes contention. Where's all the contention coming from? Pride. We got it figured out. No, we do. We're right. You're wrong. And that's not our calling to get all mixed up into that stuff as the Church of Jesus Christ. We have a much higher calling. Yes, we can have our opinions. Yes, you know, we're going to believe what we believe, and that's all right. I have my ideas and my opinions. If they differ from yours, God bless you. And let's walk together with the Lord and encourage each other in the truth. You see, the pinnacle of what God's doing is His church. So what should we actually be seeing and thinking about? When we see these incredible stresses and pressures coming against the church, what is actually going on? Is it not the enemy who wants to mess up this thing? See, that we have to see beyond the stimulus check and the opening up the government and this, that, and the other, and realize the number one place the enemy attacks is to get God's people against each other. Isn't it true? I mean, what is more discouraging for people in the church than when something comes in and just causes people to be against each other? Especially, how many young people just get turned off when they see the older folks arguing against each other? You're wrong, I'm right. Satan knows how to stop that rock from rolling and from growing. We must be aware of that. And we must keep vigilant not to let that happen. And I'm not saying this because I think there's a great problem, amongst us. You know, it's more like a preventative medicine. It's more like, this is not chemotherapy. All right? Maybe I'll reveal a little bit of how I feel. Chemotherapy is what you do when there's cancer that is going to kill somebody, right? And so there's a radical step needs to take place here. Chemo. Kill that thing. Dye it back so that this person can then hopefully, come out of it. What I'm sharing today is not chemotherapy. I feel like it's more like, broccoli whatever else you might want to put in there for good, healthy stuff. Vitamin C, I don't know. Praise God. Let's show those principalities and powers, the things that God wants to show. His people know how to overcome. Their differences, their backgrounds, their beliefs, their whatevers. I mean, think about Jesus. Just take two of the guys in his group. Okay, Simon the Zealot. Do you know who the Zealots were? They were a group of Jews. You had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes. They were the guys who just said, we're out of here. We're going to go hang out in, I forget where it was, Masada or somewhere, Qumran. And then you had the Zealots. And they were like the Pharisees, but the thing about the Zealots was they were militant. They didn't appreciate these Romans taxing us, taking our money, and telling us what to do. We're the people of God. So one of them was named Simon, and he was a follower of Jesus. Then there's another follower of Jesus. His name is Matthew the tax collector. Do you see a potential problem? I mean, can you imagine these two guys? Tax collectors, you know why they were hated? They're traitors. They're siding up with the Roman government, taking our money and giving it to Rome. Jesus attracted both these guys. I mean, that would be like Rush Limbaugh and Bernie Sanders worshiping in the same church. Can you imagine that? Picture those two guys sitting out in the pew right there. They're just sitting next to each other and singing the hymns together. How did Jesus do it? He did it because he said, I've come here to bring another kingdom. And that zealot, he saw something in Jesus. He saw in Jesus, there's a kingdom here that's eternal, not just on this earth. It's never going to pass away. And this guy is I'm going to follow him. I'm going to be in his kingdom. Matthew, the tax collector, he saw, you know what? This guy's offering something that's better than all that money that I've been chasing after. It's better than all that compromise. And these two guys, they came together and they worshiped Jesus together. And there's no recorded fight they ever had. There's a lot of times when the apostles didn't get along. But those two, there's no recording about that. That's what Jesus does. See, he brings us out of the earthly low fray of the politics and the differences that we have as human beings. And he captures us up into the glory of God. And that kingdom that's not of this world, that's of forever. That rock that just keeps growing and filling the earth and overcoming and overtaking. That's what we're a part of. And I just got so excited about that as I thought about that. And I was excited to share that with you here today. Turn down CNN, ABC, FOX, and turn up the BIBLE. So that you can know what's really important. One of the things I've seen on the news lately is all this talk about the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Isn't that ridiculous? Is it Michael Jordan or is it LeBron? That's not what heaven's focused on. That's not what the principalities and powers are waiting to see. Ooh, who's the greatest of all time? They already know who the greatest of all time is. We know who he is. And guess what? The question is MJ or LeBron, are they in Christ or aren't they? If they're in Christ, then guess what? They're a part of the greatest of all time. And if they're not, they might as well just be bench warmers because they're not in the game. You see that? But oh, the world is just caught up. This is so important. We've got to figure this out. Who's the greatest ball player of all time? See how the news just distorts our reality? So let's be careful because, I mean, I know for me, I've been drawn to the news more than ever before. I'm preaching to myself here today. Well, we're going to close with Philippians chapter 2. I mentioned that, you know, the answer of what this world really needs is humility. All of us to humble ourselves. I left my notes behind, so there's something I wanted to say, but I'll say it right now. God wants the church to show the heavenly powers what He is able to do in and through humble, yielded vessels who say, Lord, here I am, live your supernatural life through this body of mine. That's it. He says He's chosen not the wise things of the world, not the great things. He's chosen that which is just ordinary, even low, that He might confound the things of this world, the big shots, the superstars, because He's going to take these low things, us, who say, you know what, I'm nothing. But God, you live through me. You're everything. You could do something through this nothing. I believe that's how He displays to those principalities His glory. Somebody who knows he's a nothing gets filled up with God, and the whole world gets to see what God can do. That's our calling. Our calling is not to try to be the do it ourselves, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. I'm going to show what I can do through my self-effort and my gritting my teeth, white-knuckling it and whatever. That's not Christianity. Christianity is saying, God, I'm nothing and I can't make it without you. I can't save myself. I can't live the Christian life. So, Lord, you live through me. And we should be praying that oftentimes throughout the day. I try to. Or maybe you can make it. No? I can't. All right. If there be any consolation in Christ, Philippians 2, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now listen to this. We're going to close with this part here. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That's our calling, to shine as a light in this world, holding forth the word of life, showing our neighbors, showing our workers, co-workers, showing whoever that God is real. He's real enough to keep me through the stresses and strains. He's real enough for me to trust Him. And He'll do the same for you. So that's our message today. Brothers and sisters, the church is God's, where God's attention is on right now. It's not all the noise around. Let's have our attention where it needs to be as well. And be focused on the head of the body, our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, and what the great things are that He wants to do through you and I. Do you believe He wants to do some great things through His church at this time? So let's be that. Let's give Him what our nothing, and let's let Him fill us with His life. God bless you all.
Let the church say amen. Praise God. His eye is upon His bride. Yes. Thank you, Brother Paul. Appreciated that so much. In Peter, he tells us, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And then he tells us these words. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Yes, in these last days, the end of all things is at hand. Fervent charity. A hot, fervent love, one for another. Well, maybe someone has a word of testimony you would like to share here. We'll just open it up for a moment. Raise your hand. The ushers can get a microphone to you. If you have something you would like to add or share, word of testimony, blessing. Is there anyone? Great, brother.
Yes, amen. Thank you so much. I'm so thankful to be here again, and I thank God for that change of focus, that new focus that Jesus gives us, and that's the focus that I want to have.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. Up front here.
Thank you so much, Brother Paul, for that encouragement. And by word of testimony of just in the last while that we weren't together, and if you focus on the bad news, it takes you down. I can testify to that. But I was so encouraged to hear some time ago about a song that came to my mind when I heard about, you know, some of the bad news that it just didn't resonate with me. And a song came to my mind. The great physician is here. The sympathizing Jesus. And He dispels my gloom and fear. I don't have to fear. And on the heels of that came another song to my mind, and I just started praising God. Was all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to fear? You know, it's just if we're in His presence, we don't need to fear of anything. I'm just so blessed with God. I think it just came to me as Brother Paul was saying here how Saul was knocked off of his high horse. Well, maybe we were on a high horse and God wanted to knock us off and get us to focus more on Him. I think He has done a job well spoken for us here in the church. Just think on Him. Let's think on the good things and not think on these earthly things so much. Thank you so much for sharing, Brother Paul.
Amen, Brother Lester. Praise God.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.